independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
A new drug menace destroying our children in alarmingly increasing numbers. Marijuana, the public enemy number one.
The more vicious, more deadly, even than these soul-destroying drugs, is the menace of marijuana.
Oh dear, if you want a good smoke, try one of these.
Marijuana, 1936, that is Reefer Madness, scaring everybody. It is 420. How you doing, everybody? Hope you're doing well on this 420 day. Covering lots of stories, getting to things here, there, and everywhere. We'll touch a bit later on and get the latest on what's going on in Paris. There was another shooting, police officer dead, man was killed as well, known to the security officials there as somebody who has ties to Islamic radicals. A horrible situation, and on the eve of an election as well. But we're talking throughout the day and touching on marijuana and weed and the culture. And that's the problem was, it was a culture, right? It was a culture of weed. And it was this group of people that were not part of the society. It was a counterculture movement. And they were rebelling, and, you know, and then from there it became the Jeff Spicolis of the world, where everybody smokes weed and they're stoned and they play video games and eat pizza and they don't amount to anything. And then lo and behold, we live in a world today where you look around and guess what? Your neighbor probably smokes a little weed. You may smoke a little bit of weed, right? You listening out there. Even some of you in the Midwest are like, oh, but yeah, you may do it. Your neighbor may do it. You may give it to your mom or dad because they're sick and suffering, and you've said, hey, you know what? We've tried all the other routes of medicine, and let's try this. And lo and behold, it's doing something for them. It's ridiculous, again, in this day and age, that we have to have these bizarre conversations about whether or not we can discuss weed in an adult way because, well, you know, there is this, you know, whole persona of everybody, this is the gateway, and it's a bunch of bunk. It is. And I'm going to get text messages, and I'm going to get emails, and I'm going to get all those things, and I welcome them. I welcome your call. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. I have no problems. Again, you listen to the show, you know, I got nothing to hide. I don't hide anything, and I don't hide the fact that I don't smoke, I don't drink, and I don't do drugs, but I don't care that you do. I've always been the kind of person about personal responsibility and freedoms. You need to take responsibility for yourself, and I don't care what you do. As long as you're not hurting somebody, you need to take responsibility for yourself, but you should have the freedoms to make choices in life. Absolutely true. The freedoms to make choices in life. I don't know what's going to happen with weed on the short term or this president. There was a thought that this president was maybe at some point in time going to look at changing the policy federally when it came to weed, but that may not be true.
Have you changed your projections at all because we now have a Trump presidency and where he may stand on this issue?
No, because, you know, there's a bunch of reasons why, even if I don't think that the Trump administration is likely to crack down, but I do think that even if they did, it wouldn't very much impact the market growth, because no matter what they do, there's going to be states giving out licenses to cultivate and sell this. And more importantly, there's going to be a line of people standing outside those facilities looking to purchase it.
There you go. And I know you may hate it. Right. You may. And a lot of you listening out there, you've got a lot of people out there that are social conservatives and they still struggle with this mightily. But it's coming. It is. It's coming. The legalization of it is coming, whether you like it or not. So just realize that it's not what you think it is. And the culture or the counterculture isn't what you think it is. And too often we freak out about all of these kind of things, and we need to just take a deep breath and maybe a puff and realize, and again, that's a joke. I am not a marijuana user. I'm just having a laugh. It's a different world, okay? So take a deep breath. We're modernizing. We're looking at things in a much different way. And the revenue side of stuff is something you need to pay attention to. When states are bringing in hundreds of millions of dollars away, $60 million in Oregon, tax revenue, I don't know how many billions over the next several years, what that's going to mean for tax revenue. It's insane. It is. Then you got Bill de Blasio who wants to charge you $13 for a pack of smokes. Right? Producer Phil said it right. Why not just make it illegal? At this point in time, all you're trying to do is tax people from using it. Why not just make it illegal? Just go, all right, we're done. We're making it illegal. There. Strange about face. Last night, Tucker Carlson, the Miss Ann Coulter, or as we like to call her, the pencil, because she's so thin, was on with Tucker last night talking about her upcoming speech or the potential to have a speech at Berkeley, the home, by the way, of free speech.
They kept piling on, you know, requirements, ruses. You can't speak in the evening. You have to speak in the daytime when kids are in classes. We're not sure which room you're going to use. We won't tell you to the last minute. You have to exclude everyone except students. And although the groups kept, the intermediaries kept encouraging me to say, you know, this is unfair. They never do this to liberals. I kept saying, nope, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I agreed to all of their demands and then wake up this morning and they send out a letter saying how much they love the First Amendment and freedom of speech, and they're so committed to it. But we're just canceling her anyway.
So that was last night, Ann Coulter talking about the fact that, you know, she agreed to everything. Didn't matter what it was. If they had told her it was 2 a.m. and it was going to be in a closet and only 4 people are going to be, she was showing up. She was going to do it. And she goes on to talk about the fact that she thought it was more about the Berkeley, the faculty and the staff rather than the students.
I think it's the faculty and the administration. I mean, it was 2 student groups that invited me. One was the College Republicans. One was, as far as I know, a nonpartisan group that just invites speakers. I think they were embarrassed about what happened with Milo, and they wanted to show, oh, no, we can have another speaker. And I mean, I think you have kind of a pure case of it here. I love Milo, but I'm not Milo. I'm a 12-time New York Times best-selling author.
Again, Milo Yiannopoulos, who tried to give his usual performance at Berkeley. There was some violence, and he was eventually, the whole thing was canceled, and there was a lot of outside agitators who showed up and people that were there to be more anarchist than to do anything else. And she's right about one thing, right? Milo is a provocateur. He was there to be provocative, to grab headlines. She has more political cachet. She's got more, she's got a much better resume when it comes to mainstream kind of world. She's been on the bestsellers list on numerous occasions, 12 plus times, and actually more than that in several other instances where she has real gravitas when it comes to this kind of stuff. And I sat back there and I kind of went, Berkeley's jacked the pooch. Well, they've reversed it. They have reversed it because she said she was going out there. See, this is the thing. She said she was going out there last night, and that's why I believe Berkeley decided, uh-oh.
Well, we'll find out if they arrest me when I show up to give my speech. I'm not sure if I'll do it in the daytime as they had requested or do it when, you know, normal speakers, i.e., you know, corrupt Latin American rulers like Vicente Fox are allowed to speak. But I'm definitely speaking next Thursday at Berkeley.
So I think they realized, okay, us canceling her event doesn't mean we canceled her. She's showing up. So we better figure this out because we don't want it to be one of these giant zoo things where she comes, they set up something quick, she stands out there and starts giving a speech, it becomes crazy, next thing you know, there's fighting, and we can't have that. So now they've reversed their decision, and on May 2nd, they have offered her an opportunity to hold the speech, but the Republican group, the 6 people that are Republicans there, I'm assuming, it may be 4, I don't know, said there was strict conditions placed on the event. And look, this is the country we live in. And my question has always been to the liberals out there who are the faculty, the students that rage and throw a fit, who don't want somebody like Ann or Milo or somebody who goes against their belief system, who has a different thought process, a different ideology. What is it you are so scared of? That's what I want to know. I want to know what scares you. If you have the facts that you have, if you have your belief system that you have, then somebody coming on campus and giving a different viewpoint should not destroy that. If you're worried that they're going to tell you something, show you something, or open up your mind to something that isn't what you believe, then you need to put your feelings down and start leading with facts. Because your feelings are obviously not strong enough to handle certain situations. I just like to know, what is the fear factor of somebody like her or Milo or anybody who's somewhat conservative showing up on a campus to give a speech? What are you afraid of? I understand the faculty has concerns over violence and what took place because they're not worried so much about the students that are there, but the outside agitators and the looky-loos that come that cause riots and issues, break stuff and hurt kids, and all of a sudden you're getting sued. So there is that kind of, okay, we got to, you know, CYA ourselves. But I want to know what it is that you're afraid of for somebody to come there and to give an opinion and to talk about things, and she's going to talk about illegal immigration, that you're so afraid of. Diversity is not about the color of your skin, your sexuality, what you identify with, any of that crap. It is about what's in your mind. Can you be diverse in your mind? Because if you're diverse in your mind and you can listen to all points of view and you can do it with an open mind, guess what? That's real diversity. Otherwise, what you are is a closed-off individual who is eventually going to find out that as soon as you start taking away somebody else's speech, they're going to come for yours. My car, I love it. Betsy the Blue Ranger is, well, Jack and I, we love our car. It's Jack's car. He loves it. He loves Betsy. Last time he was so funny, he gave Betsy a little hug. We don't want a payment. I don't want a payment. I don't have a warranty with my car. And because I got my car used, I'll never buy a new car. Why would I do something silly like that? I like not having a payment. But I don't like what it potentially may cost should an engine crap out on me or my transmission slip. And next thing you know, I need a transmission that cost thousands of dollars. Well, guess what? I sleep easy at night because I got extended coverage from carshield.com. We know the cost of what it is nowadays when it comes to cars. Just a sensor could cost you thousands of dollars. Skip the hassle. Do what I did. CarShield.com is going to give you every opportunity to feel like a VIP and take away the stress and the worry of the potential of high repair bills. First and foremost, 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car. Boom. Here's the great stuff, though, right? This is great. You take it to where you want. They take care of it directly. There is no waiting for the check in the mail. Boom. That's why CarShield is as good. In fact, that's why they're as great as they are. Your car's 3 to 12 years old, doesn't matter, right? You just give them a call. You don't want to worry about high repair bills. CarShield's administrators paid about $2 billion in claims and ready to help you save yourself thousands in potential car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate and extended vehicle service protection before it's too late. Call 800-856-1441 and mention code Benson or visit CarShield.com and use code Benson to save 10%. That's CarShield.com. Code Benson. A deductible may apply in some plans. What's next? Next, Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
Hey, what's next? For us in the world of computing and the world of computers, Facebook is on it. That's what's next.
The Building 8 lab, this lab that they started last year, this is a lab that is working on ways to try to not tether us so much to our phones in the future. Sort of the next step of socializing may not require us so tethered to technology. And the first step for that really is to make it easier to communicate telepathically.
That's right. Facebook is getting ahead of things. Facebook and Google realize that they have to expand. Google and Facebook are racing at different kind of places. Google's trying to keep you alive forever and have a car where nobody drives. and Facebook's looking at ways to dominate, and they realize that the smartphone in some ways can be a competition. How can we take away some of that competition? Well, telepathically, of course. Telepathically. What's next for technology? Man, I'm telling you, the sky is the limit. The sky is the limit. I don't know, because my brain and my imagination don't go that far. But I think what's next for technology is there's going to be more than a few things in my lifetime that are going to change the world on numerous occasions in numerous ways. And for all of the talk that we can't get to certain planets, and all of the talk that we can't get to certain places, and all of the talk about this, that, and the other, I think before my lifetime, we will venture out there, because technology is going to grow at such a rate of speed. And eventually, yes, I say eventually, there will be a merger of human beings and us, computers, chips, whatever you want to call them, inside of our brains, that is going to help us and expand our intelligence and allow us to use far more of our brain than we have. It is a shame if you think about it, right? How much of our brain do we use? 6, 8, maybe 10%? Could you imagine if you could use 25% of your brain? The world would change overnight. If you could use 50%, woo. If you could use 100, I think with the merger of technology and machines and us, it's going to happen, kids. It is. And this whole thing that they're setting up there is going to be the first step towards something I think is going to be amazing. Embrace the weird in the future. Embrace it. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program as well. They are influential. According to Time Magazine, they've got their 100 most influential folks in the world. Who be these people? And what be they so influential in? Some of them you've heard of, others you have not. Plus, being skinny. Finally, we can go, ha, to you skinny folks. The Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Make a much better deal on trade if you get rid of this menace, or do something about the menace of North Korea, because that's what it is. It's a menace right now.
China's got their bombers ready, and I think sooner rather than later, something is going to happen. I really do. China does not want a war. They do not want this idiot to do something that would cause the rest of the world to turn on North Korea, and China will be in that as well. The last thing they want is that. That is the last thing they want. That's why, and it's so funny, because I told you guys that night when they were having that meeting in the whole nine yards, and everybody's like, no, he's going to be strong. And I'm like, you guys have no idea. Are you seeing the power of negotiation? He just said it right there. Listen again.
Make a much better deal on trade if you get rid of this menace, or do something about the menace of North Korea, because that's what it is. It's a menace right now.
A menace of North Korea. I'll make a much better deal with you if you handle this business for me. If you could do us a solid, I'll remember that when we go to the negotiating table. If not, it's going to suck to be you. Pretty simple. Throw out there, right? It's a give or take kind of scenario. In this day and age, we have gotten politicians in D.C. and every legislator across this country who are so hell-bent on, I want it my way or nothing. I have said from the beginning, he is not an ideologue. He is not somebody who is going to sit here and say, screw it, we're done. I want my deal or nothing. Oh, he'll push away from the table. But it doesn't mean at some point in time that he won't circle back and you won't circle back. It's about give or take. What did I say that night about China? Let's talk about trade. You're fantastic. You're right. Let's talk about trade. Why don't we trade that guy out over there in North Korea? Let's trade that guy out. Let's trade that guy out. Let's trade him away. How about that? Let's trade him away. Okay. We get what you're saying. Let's talk about the fact that, you know, you're worried about us pirating and all the knockoffs and they're hurting some of your companies over here. You know, let's talk about that. Let's talk. Why don't you knock that guy off? Why don't you knock him off? Maybe we'll turn. We'll look another direction. I'm just saying. I'm putting it out there. Xi Jinping was sent back with a, hey, guys, you know what? We can keep motoring along here, and America's willing to give us a decent amount of leeway in trade. Hell, they may even stay in these damn Paris Accords, this climate crap that they sucked us into rather than bounce on us. So you know what? We may have to do some business.
I really have confidence that the president will try very hard. We don't know whether or not they're able to do that, but I have absolute confidence that he will be trying very, very hard.
Oh, I think he can do it. And I think when you're reading certain things, that maybe, just maybe, there could be some action being taken. That's all I'm saying. All right? I mean, if the Pootster can go out and he can make people disappear, you can't tell me that China can't do something? Jiner can't do something? I bet Jiner can. Xi Jinping can. It's about negotiating, people. What is it that you want? That's what you do in life, right? You find out what the other person really, really wants. That gives you your starting point in your negotiation. What do you really, really want? Well, I want that. Sometimes it's like, nah, we can't give you that. It's never going to happen. But there's a lot of times where it's like, we could do that, but there's a few things we're going to want. Talk tough, carry the big stick, but then to pull it back and say, you know what? I think you and I can have a talk about this. I'm anxious to see, and I think they're handling it correctly, and I think this administration is handling it spot on. The other administrations have passed it by. They've allowed him to get to this point where he is bullying, he's screaming, he's yelling, he's the kid in the store that drops to the ground, throws a fit, and you are going to get, your fear factor is, if I don't get him a toy, CPS is going to take him away from me and I'm going to jail. Well, now we're going to find out what happens to that kid. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at Chad Benson Show. 100 most influential people, according to Time Magazine, came out today, and I was looking through some of these. Youngest one is LGBT activist Gavin Grimm. Is that the one that was transgender, the bathroom fight that goes to that? So many of them. I don't even know anymore. Oldest is Sandra Day O'Connor. She is 87. Man, I haven't heard that name in a long time. I was right about the bathroom thing. All right. So that's a lot of years right there in between. All right. So what do you got here? We got mostly politicians. Not a shocker. Thelma Aldana. Attorney General of Guatemala. You have got Julian Assange is on here. Man, they say today they're going to file paperwork on him. They want to indict him. Assange is screwed. They're going to throw him out of the Ecuadorian. He's going to be done eating guinea pig soon. Chad, why did you say guinea pig? Because in Ecuador, they eat guinea pig. My God. Not a pet store. It's a food store. Somebody's going to say, you are the worst person I've ever met. Steve Bannon, he's on here. Samantha Bee, man, she was so weird. You saw her. Producer Anthony was running around getting guests for us, doing stuff, because the way that we were at the convention was set up was just, in Cleveland, was just horrible. But she was doing her horrible little shtick, and man, if you came around, it was like she needed quiet, and she needed everybody to shut up and don't take pictures and don't look at her, and oh my, it's like, shut up. My God. Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon. I saw it today. I'm on this first $1 trillion stock. That's what they think Amazon's going to be. Not a share, but the first stock that's going to get to the point where they're a $1 trillion company. I agree. I agree with that. Simone Biles, gymnast. Boom. Bob Bland. I love this. Tamika Mallory, Carmen Perez, and Linda Sarsour, organizers of the Women's March. Tom Brady on there. Of course he is, baby. It's Tom Brady, right? Gretchen Carlson. I like this. You know what they call Gretchen on this? Advocate for workplace equality. Former Fox News anchor. Do you think that she'd be on here if she wasn't that? You know? Most influential time list of whatever it is. But do you think she'd be on this super list if she didn't, you know, out what was going on there? Probably not. Chance the Rapper's on here as well. James Corden, James Comey, Viola Davis. You know who's not on here? And I found this to be interesting, and we just talked about him. The midget from Pyongyang, of course, our good friend and yours. Mr. The Lovely, the Mushroom Head himself, the man with an evil plan, Mr. Oon. And I said he should have been on here. And the reason is because who's more influential right now? The world is on its edge nerve-wise. And by the way, a lot of that's just, you know, just everybody's freaking out over nothing. But he is causing a lot of influence. We're moving ships and satellite pictures are being taken because we're moving special satellites. China's getting ready to maybe do something. That's pretty influential, right? It didn't say the 50 coolest or the 100 bestest. It said the most influential. I'm surprised he's not on here. By the way, Russia's Pooter, he's on here. The Pootster. Bob Ferguson, the Attorney General of Washington, he's the one who shot down and it challenged Trump's original order when it came to executive order for the travel ban. LeBron James, always on air because he's a badass. Colin Kaepernick, badass. Not a badass at football, but he stood up to the world and said, I'm going to do this. And you know what? Whether you like his politics or not, that's pretty good. And he gave away a lot of money when he walked away this year. So, oh, Kim Jong-un is on here. See if we've all lied. John Legend. I don't know why Demi Lovato's on here, but she is. Mad Dog Mattis. Man, a lot of people. Conor McGregor. Neymar the soccer star. Jordan Peele. Lots of people on here. Margot Robbie's on here. She is. She's influential to me. That's what I'm saying. I watched Suicide Squad again the other day. You've not seen it, right, Producer Phil?
Of course I have not.
You need to. You need to see it. The Trumpster, Ivanka Trump's on here. Pretty much his entire family's on here. Elizabeth Warren, Xi Jinping, Janet Yellen. But I'm just saying, if you've not seen it, Phil, you should watch it. Her acting skills are there, but the outfit is it's lovely, is what I'm trying to tell you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not trying to be weird and all creepy, but it's pretty odd. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Hey, with all the instability, the oon, the little guy, what happens, right? People freak. People freak out for a lot of reasons, but the marketplace likes stability. And when the marketplace isn't stable, smart investors know what to do. They run in there, they snap up great opportunities, and they buy low, they sell high. That's how they're smart investors, and you're a kind of hanging out investor. Well, how about be that smart investor? Look at something that's going to give you an opportunity to diversify your portfolio as well as, how should we say this, giving you a little net in case the marketplace slips. And that's precious metals. Gold Co. Precious Metals. Trust these guys and gals. Talk to them on numerous occasions. I am impressed by what they offer. They show you, Gold Co. shows you how easy it is to diversify your portfolio to protect what you've worked so hard for. And having been in the industry for as long as I was and still around a lot of people that are, I will tell you this, precious metals, it's a no-brainer when it comes to putting yourself in a position to protect your portfolio and give you upside investment potential. They're honest, they're ethical, they're knowledgeable, they give you fantastic advice on how to invest in precious metals to protect what you've worked so hard to earn. Visit BensonGold.com to get started with your free IRA guide from Gold Co. That's BensonGold.com, BensonGold.com. Check them out. I'm telling you, they're going to give you some advice that is really, really smart, and it's not like the others out there who are selling you a dream about the world's coming to an end. They're going to show you what investing's like. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist.
Say what?
Say what? Worked out today, as I tend to do during the day, because that's who I am. I'm a worker outer. Trying to get fit. Bought new jeans the other day, like 2 weeks ago. I'm already too thin for them. But I'm not super thin. I'm not skinny. In the say what portion of today's show, being skinny has been linked to depression. It's because you're so hungry. Right? Right? Chat. Being skinny is associated with depression, according to a new study showing the first evidence linking being underweight with low moods. Right? So you got a low mood. Experts believe they found the first evidence of a significant link between the underweight and being depressed. The research reveals both men and women can be affected by negative thoughts about being too thin, unlike depression among obese people, which predominantly affects women. However, experts from Seoul's National University of Medicine who led the study were unable to say whether depression leads to thinnerness or vice versa. So, the chunky, the chubby, and the obese, that maybe hurts women with depression, not so much men. But being thin hurts both of them because they're worried about being too thin. Man. And you thought being super thin was cool. Could lead to depression. That's why you need to eat more carbs. Although I am eating less carbs because I'm trying to be fitter. Doesn't mean that I am getting fitter, but I'm fitter-ish, if you will. I don't pass out when I run a mile or two. The fight's going to happen. I said this today. This is going to be the fight of the century this year. And everybody's like, what? Makes the fight of the century this year. Conor McGregor and Mayweather are going to fight because the money is too big, right? It's too big. You can't leave it there. McGregor knows he's not getting any more $100-200 million fights anymore. Nobody wants to see him fight Manny Pacquiao. Again, we saw that. That was the ruse. Right? We got the ruse and you paid your $50 or whatever it was and it sucked. But McGregor, that's an event where like you have a party and people show up and the wives and the girlfriends come and it's an event. It's not a singular kind of thing where it's only about the MMA or the boxers. That's where people who don't even follow the sport will show up. Dana White says McGregor's going to get $75 million, which I think is right. I mean, he's negotiating for his boy, right? He's negotiating for his boy. But I think he's going to get more in line to 50, which he's never going to get fighting in MMA. And again, you look at somebody like the Floyd Mayweather, man, how do you turn down $150 million? I know you have $400 million. But how do you say, I don't want $150, I don't want $200 million? You don't. You fight again because you know you're not going to get it again. You know it's never going to happen again. There's nobody else out there that wants to, that we want to watch you fight. So we'll see. MMA is going to hold out. And of course, even though Dana White doesn't own the UFC anymore, they're still holding out hope because they want a bit of that money. Because they're never going to see that kind of gate. No. It's got to be a crossover. It does. I think it's going to happen. Finally, in the say, what? Producer Phil, what do we say about nature?
Nature will mess you up.
Will bank you up. Some people understand that. Some people get that. You go into nature, right? Like Jack and I are going to go camping for a few days. This summer, we're going to go out. We're going to do a tester. We're going to go out for a couple days, summer. We're going to have fun. And we're not going on a big camp, but we understand we're in nature. Like nature happens, right? But you go to nature, sometimes nature will blank you up. People take that for what it's worth. South African hunter, a professional hunter, a man whose job is to hunt other animals and critters, and to lead people on animal and critter hunts, was in Zimbabwe at the Limpopo River. He was leading a group of people when he and another guide kind of veered off to go through the bush when they came upon the Limpopo River. For 2 days, they've been missing, but they now have DNA tests back that, yes, the bits and pieces that they found are indeed Scott Van Zyl, the 44-year-old hunter who vanished. He was eaten by two crocodiles. They've been both shot, and they have done the test inside their belly to find out if they had some stuff in there, and indeed they did. The tracker is still missing, assumed to be dead as well. That's what happens when you go into nature, people. Always remember that. Take it for what it's worth. Nature will blank you up. The Chad Benson Show is your Facebook. Go there, like it, please. CHADBENSON. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. That's old style. If you want to email us, you can feel free to do that. You can text the program 323-538-2423. And, of course, you can always tweet at me, at Chad Benson Show. We got a poll up there about the handling of Bill O'Reilly's letting go at Fox. It's the Chad Benson Show.